interactive entity. Most of the time we do meet on weekends, but we also want opportunities to meet with the staff. And so I did respond to the person saying that, you know, while I didn't think it would be probably a trend that we would be meeting on weekdays, that I did hope that we would, from time to time, have the opportunity to meet with the commission staff. Information about NIS, newspaper articles, one about StarTran, and one about the budget, and things like that. And we do appreciate getting those kinds of things, too. We also received some communication through the website, the NCBVI thing, you know, the demo of the PacMate and the pocket, handheld pocket viewer. We also like knowing those things so that we can either participate or just know about them. The position of the center on guide dogs in the center we received. We did receive the LP 115 about the auditor duties that Pearl talked about a little bit ago. And I think I've mentioned the tracking reports, center statistics, correspondence about a focus topic on the client assistance project. And different the link to CAP on the NCBVI website and the Orientation Center video on the website. Those are both really good things that are happening. Pearl let us know that she wouldn't be the next regional RSA commissioner and that Joe Cordova will be. Communication about free computers. A copy of LB 611. Michelle's resignation and Pearl's and my responses. A letter from a student in response to a video about a blind person, and that student did send a copy of our video. And it's always good to get those kinds of things, knowing that our, the students of our orientation center are reaching out to other people also. And the draft monitoring review from Jerry Harris. Of course, our minutes. The appropriations budget hearing, which is coming up this Thursday, the 27th. Information about the federal money coming in. Information about applying for commission board positions. Pearl's meeting with Senator Bourne. The responses to the issues and concerns. Changing of dates of the college workshop to September. And information about senators and, you know, who is doing what with regard to the bill and other people who are wanting to become part of things. Chris Boone's response letter about Pam Shaw's experience here, that's another kind of thing that we like knowing about. It's wonderful, too, that we not only reach out to students other places, but also to staff people in other places. And, you know, that's it's really good to know that that kind of thing is happening. The policy on staff attending hearings. The standards and indicators, the transportation survey that ACB has online, ready for responses, testimony on LB 611, letter from Bob Deaton to the visually impaired peer support. We had information on the focus report from the business enterprise that I had a question about last time, and that question has been resolved. I now do understand what those numbers were. And so that was good to get that answered between meetings. Web statistics. And then the news of Bob Nally's death. I know that a lot of us have known him over the years. He was involved in the American Council of the Blind and also in the Nebraska Association of the Blind and those kinds of things. And so it's good to hear about those things. Also, the message from Candy about Carl Olson's having pancreatic cancer. A lot of us have known Carl from the past, and you know, we do appreciate getting those kinds of messages also, so that we know and can respond to those things. The transition focus report, the director's report, and the staff meeting agenda, and also the letter that Pearl sent just yesterday to the Appropriations Committee with the budget information about the glitch in the budget, which hopefully will get resolved. So that is the list of materials for this meeting, and we do appreciate that, and you know, we'll continue to digest things and ask questions when we have them and that kind of thing. And we do appreciate, again, that flow of material. Okay, the next item on old business is the budget update.
Okay. The governor's proposed budget would cut our general funds by 10%, which would have pretty drastic impact. We would not be able to match the federal funds, nor would we be able to, well, and we'd also have a problem with maintenance of effort. That's something that's required by the Rehab Act and by law. It's a rather complicated thing, but basically, if the non-federal part of the budget at any given year falls below what it has been, or it falls below what it needs to be in order to match full federal, then 2 years later, the amount of the federal dollars will be decreased, even if you have the match 2 years later. If you didn't keep your maintenance of effort up, then you're at risk to lose federal funds in the future. So it's quite a long-term devastating problem that people really try to avoid. You can appeal for waivers from the federal government, but we prefer to avoid it to begin with. But anyway, it would become a problem if we're cut to the extent that is being suggested. Let's see if I can read this right. With the legislative budget, their numbers actually cut us 17.4%, and we understand that. How shall I explain this? The amount that was subtracted when we put in our budget a request, we had to do the request as we really wanted it, and then also a request assuming a 10% decrease in funds. And so the amount that would be that 10%, the legislative folks, or the Appropriations Committee, subtracted that amount not from the amount that we were requesting, and not even from the governor's budget, but they subtracted it from the current year's budget. And so you get nearly an 18% decrease in funds. We were told that a number of other agencies did have, you know, the same kind of formula thing occurred. So, but they haven't, you know, issued new numbers, even though this has been brought to their attention. Therefore, we really are doing two things. One is talking to the senators and the legislative and governor's budget analysts to help them understand these things, and also to really reinforce the good outcomes that we have, the work that we do. We really are pretty bare bones kind of a budget as it is. As you know, we don't have grant writers or planning staff. All of our supervisors carry caseload. There isn't a heck of a lot of fat in our budget, if any. And of course, for the past couple of years, the governor has encouraged all agencies to do the restraining of expenses and finding ways to save nickels and dimes, which we have been doing. And I know we've talked about the specifics quite a bit here over time. So we've been working at that. And now, even given that, we're being asked to potentially cut at least 10%, maybe more. Another thing is that part of our match for the basic support is dependent on the continuing of the low vision clinic and our agreement, our third party agreement with them. The low vision clinic is a part of the University of Nebraska Medical Center. And you all know that the university's budgets are in a pretty bad shape as well. So we have no way of knowing if that particular part of the med center would be cut. But if it is, that would have a really an enormous impact on our budget as well. So those are, just try to give you some of the key factors in what we're looking at. And so on the one hand, that we're really trying to help them understand this would not be a good thing to make major cuts in our budget. We're also, we've been looking at program costs and costs of every piece of what we do to try to identify some ways that that cuts could be made if we do need to make cuts. I brought lots of figures here. I don't know how, you know, if you want to ask some questions or get some discussion going about that, or if you, I don't know how in depth you want to.
Does the Med Center people, I mean, do they have any idea? I mean, are they with any assistance right now, knowing if low vision portion is something they're looking at cutting? Or?
They haven't given us any indication that they've heard anything.
Because that won't be line item cut. I mean, it'll just be part of their overall, and they'll have to decide how they're going to portion that.
Right. And that's, they're probably in the same state that we are, which is, it's hard to say, okay, we are going to do A, B, C, and D cuts, which add up to this amount, because we don't know yet for sure what the amount we would end up being cut would be. And so, you know, what if it's less, what if it's more? I mean, you can come up with ideas, but until you really know how much the cuts will be, you know, it's hard. So I would think that the Med Center's in the same thing, and they'll have to look at all of their programs and decide what they can, what would be cut out.
Have you, I know sometimes in these budgetary kabuki dances that go on, and then this one's certainly a more serious one than usual, that one of the ways to confront budget cuts is to say, well, if you give us this amount, then we got to eliminate these things and give them specific, that we won't be able to provide the same amount of services, so, you know, we can cut this whole program out, this would account for that, and give them, you know, specifics rather than, you know, just talk about in general how bad it would be.
Right. Yeah, and actually we were required to do that as a part of what they call the modification budget, that is the 10% drop budget. We were required to identify exactly what we would do to manage that. And so those exact things were actually line items in the budget numbers that the governor and the Appropriations Committee have given us. Now, we really hope that they'll let us not necessarily do those items, you know, but really look at it, okay, now, today, what are the things? Have we thought of anything else? But I'll tell you some of the things that we put in there and some other things that we've been discussing. One item we talked about at last summer's meeting, the possibility of cutting the fleet of cars. Another item would be cutting staff. If we do cut staff, administratively, about the only real flexibility that we would have is to cut one of the two deputy directors. In the field, we'd want to spread it out, you know, so maybe one position in each district. In the center, the half-time diabetic specialist. Another possibility would be cutting the offices. The Scottsbluff, Norfolk, and Kearney have three people, you know, consider not having a support staff person, or if the cut, depending how drastic the cuts are, not have those offices. You know, I mean, and then what do? You have the staff work from home, or do you? You know, I'm not sure where that one would go. We do pay dues to the CSAVR, Council of State Administrators of Voc Rehab, and the NCSAB, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. We don't belong to much of anything else, but those two are the national entities that represent agencies for Voc Rehab in the nation's capital. So we do belong to those, but we could just stop belonging to those if we had to.
How much do those cost?
The NCSAB is not too much. Right now I think it's about $800. And so it would be easier to keep that one, although in our proposal we put both of them in there. The CSAVR is something like $3,000,
$3,200. Something like that, yeah.
So, you know, that's obviously a bigger chunk. Then we can look at programs. You know, what does it cost us to do the home teaching plus? What about, a lot of our programs now are part of the transition grant, and that's 100% federally funded. So right now, those are in good shape. We're in year three of the five-year grant, so we certainly need to look ahead to what we're going to do. But for now, those, it wouldn't help anything to save some money there. Let's see. We've recently talked about starting some new things like a newsletter and some other ideas people have had, but I think for right now we really can't think about starting anything new that would have any kind of a cost. Another option, which it's not really an option, it's a requirement, if funds are cut to the extent that we cannot serve all the people who come to apply for services, is that we have to go into order of selection, and that's a whole process. You'll remember reading about it in the rules. So, you know, we've really looked at that, and I don't think that that would really save much money. And so I think that would, we would really try to avoid that because it would hamper services pretty drastically.
So like for instance, I mean, if, you know, the 10%, if, you know, all those personnel positions you said that, you know, are conceivably expendable, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we wouldn't want to, but I mean, if all those were eliminated, I mean, how far does that go to, I mean, does that take care of it, which is, with that, is that one scenario that would take care of the full 10% or just a portion of it, or?
In the 10%, we included the deputy director, one field person, one field counselor in each district. We hadn't put in the thing about not having support staff in the smaller offices or closing those offices. So I included that in the discussion, but that wasn't part of the 10%. We cut the fleet of cars 50%. The dues for the different...
So all of these are part of it, would need to be done to do that.
Well, I did add some things, which I just said. I mean, I didn't, in the 10%, we did not include minimizing staff in offices, other than one per district. And that one would, in order to make the 10%, that would have to be a counselor person.
Right.
Actually, at that point, we did look at support staff, and I guess good news and bad news, we don't pay them well enough that it would really make enough of a dent. But if we're cut 20%, you know, if we don't make our federal match, enormous things will have to be done. Even as it is, if we make it with the governor's budget, huge things would have to be done. But, you know, so when you say, so all that's in there, there were some other things that I added that we've been thinking about since then. You know, could we, we have cell phones for some of the staff. Now, they do not cost anything to have other than the initial getting of the thing, which we did several years ago. The actual call fee, you know, the costs involved are pretty minimal because we looked at that. Actually, that we looked at that in the last few years as one of the possible cost constraints. And we wouldn't save much, but if we're cut to the extent that's possible here, you know, that would be something that could go away, save us a nickel or two. What are some other...
So you're saying these costs that you're talking about, they would need to be done just to meet the state 10%, not counting the federal match loss? Or that would all be part of the same
It's loss? All in one breath, okay. Because when you lose the state,
right,
you know, you lose the federal.
Lose the federal.
Okay. So we would have to look at the whole package of what we have to spend and try to make the decisions that would have the least impact on quality services, you know, enable us to statewide in this big state meet the needs of the people. And I do want to say that there's not a single one of these things that I really think would be, gee, that's a good idea. I think of most of those good idea kinds of cuts we've made in the past 5 years. We, you know, and especially since the governor was really saying, look at every cost, you know, we've really made a lot of changes to try to make things more efficient. So I don't know.
The unfortunate thing is you don't get any credit for that.
Right.
You have not to cut the 10%, you know, if you had all those other things, then you could.
That's exactly right.
So do you any good to do the other things earlier.
Right. But I want staff to know and I want consumers to know that you know, we're not thinking any of these things would be lovely, but if we are, you know, there are some entities that will be completely eliminated with these budgets, and we need to find ways to do the best we can do with whatever we do, whatever we are provided, and hopefully build another funding base, but we've been working on that too. Grants we can look at, but a lot of those are specific projects, you know, so they don't
necessarily help with our overall doing business.
Pearl, I was thinking you presented the idea of maybe closing the offices and have people work out of their homes. How would that work?
Well, that's the big question.
Because it sounds like, you know, you could really save a lot of money right there by rent and utilities. And
You'd have to figure out things like equipment and state computers, being at home, and how to monitor all of that, and office space. You know, do we need to pay the person something to set up space in their home? It's not an easy thing to cut, like not subscribing to something anymore, or, you know, so it's rather complicated, and we haven't completely explored that.
I'd rather see that happen than cut staff people.
Oh, I think it would be a tragedy to cut staff, actually.
Yeah, it would be.
Bearable. My question is, when I worked for the state, the Attorney General's office, we went through that several times, and they would say, well, out-of-state travel is something that, and then they go through the office and say, well, you've been 2 or 3 years, no more. You've got to wait for old Joe Blow there. He hasn't gone for a couple of years, so he can go. So they'd put that. How much does the commission spend on out-of-state travel of the year for staff and clients?
Right. I'm glad you brought that up. First, let me talk about staff first. All of the training things that people go to, almost in every case except an occasional meeting that I have to go to, are in our training grant. And the training grant is 90% federal. And so, we could make some... I guess I'm not answering how much. I can't rattle that off the top of my head without doing a little digging. But the amount we would save in terms of match would be negligible. That and the older blind and independent living are $90-$10. So I've, but that would be another thing. If we really need to just turn back that grant, we could. But that would be a real shame. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as clients go, I don't know an amount, but within each plan, the way the requirements for the individualized plan for employment, the counselor and the person sit down and, you know, decide what they need to achieve their goals. And in some cases, that has included some trips to some training or conventions. To be honest, I don't think that we would even be legally able to say no trips to, no out-of-state trips for clients. If the client and the counselor in writing that plan say this is an important piece of my rehab process, then unless we're in order of selection, well, actually, even if that's more complicated, but anyway, we have to provide that. We can look at comparable benefits, and we definitely really encourage staff and, to talk with clients and for clients and staff to really look at what are the comparable benefits out there. You want to add something, Carlos?
No.
Okay. Well, one thing that I understand that because sometimes it's get valuable training, but mm-hmm. can't get it within the state, but the mobility students. Lincoln sidewalks are just as good to travel on as some cities, so it wouldn't be to the benefit of either the student or the agency to send a group of mobility students to take training in another community. They can get that right here in the state of Nebraska.
Sure. About. If that was the only reason to do it, then I would agree.
No matter what way you go, you're going.
Oh, yeah. There's no win. It's the no-win deal. But
now, in the last budget cycle, one of the things that happened was that there was the money from the trust fund and that kind of thing is there any way of having any of that kind of, do we still have any of those kinds of things that would be able to be used against the day so that 2 years hence we're not into that federal crunch of, okay, we didn't do it this time, so sorry, even though you can do it now, you can't?
Yes. If the feds don't require that it be state monies that match, but the non-federal component of your overall budget. So yes, whatever funds we expend from trust fund, donations, whatever else it might be, except for it can't be federal money, so you can't include Social Security reimbursement. And there are a few other strings, so some grants don't apply and some do. But yes, those that fit can be used, are part of when we submit the forms to the feds. We include how much was spent of federal funds and how much from the non-federal.
Well, do we have any of that currently?
We do. We have the amount is not quite as large as it was in, I think, 2000 and 2001 biennium, because of we had more match from some of those sub-grants that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Helen Keller grant, it's a 5-year grant with decreasing amounts. The first year was, you know, so that gradually is a bit less. But yes, we do. We have the business enterprise set aside. We have some trust funds that we can spend. You have to actually spend the dollars in order for them to count. So having them in the bank, like we have one K.D. Robinson trust, which was provided to us many years ago, that is for programs for children and youth. And just having it doesn't help until we spend it. And of course, if we spend it all, we won't have it anymore after some point. So we've tried to just use interest, you know, spend the interest of that. But definitely, you know, the other sources of funds, hopefully we'll get some funds from Friends of the Commission and other sources. As we spend those, we can use them. Are there any other? We don't have as many kind of chunks of funding sources as we did in the first couple of years. Unless I'm forgetting my
so right now
thing. No.
If the 10% cut thing or whatever is proposed, we don't have anything available to counteract it.
The amount that we have is already computed in, right?
Not all of the trust fund, no.
Okay.
No.
So we could use additional funds. Do you remember an amount off the top of your head?
I believe that the trust fund is around $110,000, but of that, $58,000 of it is the K.D. Robinson fund.
And let me give you some specifics. With the governor's budget, this is not the modification, but just the amount that the governor is proposing we get from the state. In 04, we do not make our match. We're $32,684 short of match. And in 05, the match is not met, and we're just over $48,000 short of match. So we possibly could generate, you know, that amount. That would be our approach, and we would do what we've done before, try to get the state funds, but then failing that, try to gain additional match from sources. One of the things I should mention about match is that it isn't just a do or die on the beginning of the year. Are you going to have it this year? Okay, we'll give you the money. But rather through the year, as you spend the funds, you can build that match. So that does give us some, doesn't help us pay salaries or expenses, but it gives us some flexibility within a year itself to be building match resources and spending that match.
So we would have, at this point, we would have around $50,000 that would be usable toward that from the trust situation? Is that, confused?
Or? No, you're right. But that would be, you know, really spending it all. Yes. Uh-huh. But yes, that's enough.
So that would, I mean, if we did that for the $32,000, then we'd only have, you know, $18,000 for the next year,
right?
Which is also $48,000, and that would still leave us a $30,000 problem.
So the
even
trust
in
money,
simplified terms,
yes.
The trust money is generally thought of as kind of a cushion and used to. I mean, is it earmarked for anything?
There's just the one earmark,
the Katie Robbins.
Yeah, the Katie Robbins, but the rest of the money is.
No, it's we use it as needed to. When sometimes as payrolls come in, or they don't come in, they occur, and you know, we haven't even received all of our federal money yet. The budget has been approved, as you know, but we're short of some grant awards, and as in any given period, if we don't have the money to spend to pay salaries to provide the tuition expenses and the, you know, the things that clients need, and pay for the cars and the offices, then we can use the trust funds to, you know, kind of for cash flow so that we can make it through that particular thing.
Now, the originally the governor's office was going to just start like doling the money out, like 8% at a time, you know, to
right.
have a built-in. How does that all fit into the?
They took that away.
Okay.
They're not figuring that one out. Yeah.
Do you get any sense? I mean, it seems like the budgetary thing is obviously serious. More serious has been.
Yes.
Been a long time, and it almost seems like the senators have just thrown up their hands and said, mm-hmm. "Yeah, we agree. This is all terrible, but we don't have any choice." Do you? Have you had any contact with anybody to sense that maybe they are taking a special interest in what we're saying?
Actually, the legislative analysts told us before they sent their numbers over that they're taking a special look at you. And then we decided maybe that wasn't a very good thing when we got the numbers. Actually, you know, I don't know that it's completely true that the senators have thrown up their hands. I think as a part of what happens out on the floor, there are a lot of proposals to build revenue and a lot of different kinds of things for cuts, and Game and Parks is one example, the bill to increase some fees and also to decrease like hours parks would be open and things like that. So that's just one little area. I really think the senators do not want the easy way out, which is the approach of just the, you know, across the board mm-hmm. cuts. I think they're really trying to come up with some solutions. How successful the whole process will be is the big question.
Because I guess last time we won in the early, but then
right.
Joanne's veto and sent it back, then it was
yes.
just like...
Yes, and all we can do, I really believe, is we can provide as good of information as we can to them in their decision-making process, and the more everybody contacts their senators and helps to explain, you know, this isn't a welfare program. This gets people into the workforce. This keeps older people out of nursing homes. And so, you know, if you cut it, you really aren't going to save, because it's going to have some impact on people's lives that will continue to be more dependent on the system of the state.
Yeah, I think that that's something that we need to try to find a way to, you know, to help them to understand that it isn't like if you cut this out, you know, when they compare us to things like, you know, Parks and Recreation or something, for example. I mean, if a park is open for a few less hours, the people who aren't going there are probably not going to be doing something else that's going to cost the state money. But if you cut the budget of a service provider, which is what we are, then you do still see those people, only you see them in a more expensive way. Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know, the person who got up at our meeting out in North Platte and talked about how if somebody hadn't come and visited her, that she probably would have gone ahead and committed suicide. You know, I don't think that we can minimize that kind of impact. You know, it isn't true, as Senator Tyson tried to say, that we can't take care of ourselves. But it is true that because of the way society sees blind people, and therefore the way we see ourselves when we haven't been impacted by others who know differently, is that it is a life and death thing. You know, they talked about not taking out things that would really be life and death to people or whatever. Well, this can be that kind of a thing. And I think that they need to understand that in some way, that it isn't a matter of just shuffling something around or really saving money. It's a matter of, this really is the least expensive way to deal with helping blind people to be self-sufficient. This is the least expensive way to do it. If they don't do it this way, then they'll get the more expensive way of dealing with it, which is that people will be doing things that desperately need. And I'm not sure exactly how we can most effectively do that. I think what you're saying about, you know, having people be sure to get in touch with senators and to do that is certainly one way.
But once it comes out of appropriations, much of the die is already cast. That's you know, our allies are on Health and Human Services, but they're not, you know, their appropriations is a dollar's a dollar, and unless you can just somehow break through to their consciousness that the match and that this is different. And but that's why I was wondering if you got the sense of, you know, which senators were listening and which ones, you know, maybe we need to get more, we need to help, we need to break through, because they're just not seeing us as any different than anything else.
And that's the problem, because they're all coming in with their sad stories about how, you know, what they're going to have to cut and so forth, except the highway department and so forth. They have no worries, they're going to get what they want. But your smaller agencies,
well, the university and education, I mean, everybody is just, yeah. It's yeah. Just, you know, they're just making budget choices that nobody wants to make right now. And
right. Yeah.
So that's what makes it such an especially tough climate. But I think that, you know, the match is a little bit different. I mean, our story with the match is, if they will take the time to understand that, that we're not only saving a dollar but we're losing additional money that will be coming in the state, be spent in the state, and
it'll still cost the state because of the other costs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just have to keep making that point.
And as Barbara said, it's not a matter of, you know, we're not depleting the budget. We're getting people to the place where they're going to become taxpayers, and they're going to pay that money back. So
yes.
Or an investment.
The blind person,
that's right.
It's an investment. It's a
yep.
It's a loan to them. Because I know I've turned many, 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 many times back to the state than cost me to go to all 7 years of school. Mm-hmm. And that's what they have to realize. That if they don't make these people independent, well, they're tax spenders, not taxpayers. And
that's right.
And that's no way to go. To make them understand that. How can blind people do anything? You know, you could create 100 blind people in there, all well employed and so forth. Well, yeah, we know you can do it, but nobody else can, you know. Mm-hmm. You get that story. So they have that block, too, I think.
Right.
Are there any senators on appropriations that you've gotten much feedback from? Or?
Let's see. Part of the challenge is we were so focused on
611
for a while. It took away from some of this. I communicated by email to all of the senators on appropriations, but have not met with them. Now,